quite amazing, Mike. Yes, it would seem like to me about, no more than 20, but that's the way it is, isn't it? As you get older, time goes quicker, that's for sure. But, great memories, really, I had a lot of thinking to do before I decided that I would come to Limerick. I had other options, and really, it was just a milestone in my career, really, and the right decision. It was it was just wonderful times.
It certainly was, and you went on to better things, of course, when managing the Republic of Ireland. But I suppose in 79, when you were appointed player manager, Limerick were pretty much like most League of Ireland clubs, bit of rag-arse rovers around them at the time. But I spoke to Gary Humes, Pat Nolan, many more, and they all said Owen brought a professionalism. How did you manage to do that so quickly and win a league almost straight away?
Well, look, I mean, it was just let's see how it goes and whatever. I can remember, actually, Dave Mahidi had been kind of looking after them on a temporary basis or something like that. Then I came in, and the first thing I did was I had a chat with Dave, and I made the decision that Dave was the man that would be there to help me, because he was very, very professional and very, very efficient at his work, which was fitness levels and all that, because, as we know, that was his main occupation, dealing with all that kind of thing with UL. Also, if we had the availability of UL to train, which was a huge boost. So, I mean, having had the chat with Dave, then I can remember clearly on a lovely sunny evening, sitting down all the players and really first time to meet them all, and basically having a chat, a good chat about what we were going to try and do. And really, Mike, what it was just saying, look, I just want to maximise what you guys have got. And I don't want any messing about. I don't want any ifs and buts. It's either you accept our way of training to get fit, and or else you just tell me now and you go on your way. And basically, I mean, that was it. That was kind of a summing up of it. And, the training then started, and we trained very hard. And I think, as hard as I'd ever done in my life, like as a pro footballer. But you see, I was player manager. So, I mean, the good thing was I was doing everything that Dave was requesting of myself, for myself. And, of course, the lads then knew that, OK, if the boss is doing it, we'll do it, because he's not going to make a show of us type of thing. And they all responded really very, very well. And I do genuinely think that fitness level stood to us so much, especially towards the end of games as the season went on. We had the friendly games, the pre-season friendly games, and we were trying out, well, what way are we going to play this? With the players we had, I decided, well, okay, it'll be a 4-2-4, basically, maybe 4-3-3 at times, but because we wanted width and whatever, and that was very important. And, another big decision I made was, you had Joe O'Mahony and Brendan Storden, who were a very efficient pair of centre-backs. So my position was centre-back. But I thought, well, no, I can't disrupt these guys. I mean, because they, let's see how we go. And I played myself in a central midfield role, what they call the holding player there. The
famous number six now,
yeah. So then, of course, got a few signings in, like Des Kennedy. It was set up really that I played a pre-season game outside Limerick, so I'm not quite sure, Kilmallocone, I think, and got Des to play in the opposition. He was with Galway at the time, but he was a Limerick lad, and I thought, that was funny, actually, because I just wanted to test what sort of a guy he was playing against him, and I did. I hit him a few times, fairly and all hard, tackled hard. But he gave me back as good as he got. And that was the reason I signed Des. And the same with the other players we added. There was Johnny Matthews. We needed the width. Johnny we got from Waterford. Was it Waterford or Thurles at the time? Not quite sure. Well, I think it was Waterford. And then, of course, later on, John Delamere. But, the nucleus of the side. This was the great thing about it. Those Limerick lads, they had adapted completely in a very, very strong, passionate way to everything that we did. Now, we also said, we will work hard, but we will also have fun, because I genuinely believe that's all part of it. We'll have our nights out, we'll have our I love the old camaraderie and the singing the old songs and all that, because that creates a spirit. Like, I mean, I've always done that. Because I think it helps, never mind the extra relaxing part of it. Now, that'll be mainly on the way back from games and all that.
And it stood the test of time, Owen, because, of course, you're still all the best of friends today and you get together for the two annual outings every year, but you cultivated that camaraderie and nobody has ever broken it.
Well, that's the great thing about it. I mean, it's lasted now. We're friends now. I mean, some of them might say, Scott, you'll call me boss, but very few. Some of them might call me the nicknames that maybe they had for me at the time, which maybe mightn't have been complimentary, nor for Dave. But it was all done in fun. It really was. So, I mean, it is great that we've never kind of let it go. We've always had, basically a golf outing every year. And a Christmas get-together a week or two before Christmas, whichever suits everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we all look forward to. Now, sadly, we've lost a few. We've lost Tony Meaney, we've lost Joe O'Mahony. And that was very sad. I was at both of those funerals. But like I say, the whole thing was really to be in it together. And I was lucky, I must admit. Mike, I was lucky in so much that I'd like to think I was the kind of the final piece of the jigsaw, because they were all there waiting, just sort of frustrated maybe that their careers hadn't done as much as their ability warranted or deserved. And then all of a sudden, I had all this in front of me to work with, and the response was absolutely magnificent. And that's, we just were saying that the usual cliche you get in football, we'll take every game as it comes. And that's what we did. Now, we certainly had our hiccups and we had our falling outs, and there was a discipline within the squad. There was also a discipline between myself and our board of directors and chairman and all that.
It's funny, I was going to ask you, because everybody remembers the team and how great it was and the big crowds and the title win. What was your relationship like with a board that, weren't always forthcoming in the public's minds with a lot of finance to back the team? Did you have all the backing you need, or was it a real struggle, and was it a good working relationship that enabled you to build what you had in front of you?
Well, look, I knew what I was coming into, type of thing. I knew basically when the markets feel I arrived there, the pitch was in a shocking state, because obviously they looked after the greyhounds, but not the football pitch. And I set about getting a home mower, a push along one that I had in the rented house I had out in and I cut the grass of the penalty area to show the difference and what difference that would make. And I tried to level, because it was kind of uneven and whatever, I tried to level as best I could. And that kind of set the tone. But again, I was kind of making, a demonstration of, you cannot play good football unless you have a good surface. Because the players we had, they were good, talented, footballing, technically good. Johnny Walsh, Pat Nolan, Joe O'Mahony, all these lads are very, Tony Morris, of course, Gary Humes, I added later on. Great pace. So we had a lovely balance between all the things that were needed to be successful. And then in the big test, the big games, which was Dundalk, they were our main rivals at the time, we had very good results against them. And the Rolling Stone, it was just gathering all the time, type of thing. And momentum was there. And it was exciting. It was exciting. And they were all enjoying it, because, when you're winning games and you're actually top of the league, which we were from a very early stage. So that actually was great, in so much as that got the supporters thinking, hey, hold on a second. And the crowd started getting bigger in the Markets Field until it was full house every weekend.
And tell me about the day in Athlone. As a manager, you had to plan for winning the game, knowing a draw would suffice, but you fell behind and you had started yourself, which wasn't unusual. You were in that midfield holding role. But as a player and as a manager, you probably had twice as much pressure. And when you went behind, you really knew you had to either perform it on the pitch yourself or motivate the lads by being in the centre circle. And somehow you did that.
Well, yeah, you know, when you work so hard for the full season, and we've done so much, I mean, to think that one point would have done it, Dundalk would have won, won the league if we hadn't have got that point there. So, I mean, when we did go behind, you know, that was, you know, there was only one thing to do. And that was sort of step up your efforts all over the pitch, like no matter what. Now, that's not to say we weren't trying as hard, but there's, we said, look, come on, we've got to take risks here. You know, we've got to really push on. The fullbacks have got to push on more than we normally would. I will get forward more than I normally would. So it worked because we got a penalty. I forget, it was Johnny Fulham actually fouled. I think it might have been Desi or Gary Humes or maybe Tony Morris. Not sure, but one of the lads. And Tony Meaney, I mean, I was taking the penalties mainly, but Tony was a better, I thought that Tony, because Tony was in and out. He wasn't that regular. Like, I mean, but I said, Tony, how do you feel about taking this? And it was a big responsibility. And Tony said, yep. And of course, he coolly slotted it in. So, I mean, I also, and it wasn't that I was afraid to take it, but I just wanted it scored no matter what. And maybe in my own mind, I was thinking, my God, there's a whole season depending on this one kick, you know.
And I'm sure there was unbelievable scenes in the dressing room. But tell me about the 6 or 7 days after, a legendary story, some which will obviously never be retold again. But you had one hell of a party back in Limerick with supporters who to this day see as cult heroes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. And I think one of the rugby clubs, I think it might have been Shannon, they were having a very successful time. So there was that kind of fierce rivalry about, you know, which sport and whatever. But when we won the league, oh gosh, you know, like, I mean, we were on a coach or whatever, on the back of a lorry or something, going around with the league trophy. And, you know, driving up and down the streets and whatever. And just, look, it was, and then we went out into surrounding areas as well. We were invited out to some of the towns around Limerick because the support had come from there. It had built up and built up and built up, not just Limerick City, but from outside as well, Limerick County. So it was kind of a great reward for all the lads. And I think it's a time, you know, there was, look, I mean, there was alcohol involved, but nobody ever messed. Nobody ever actually went OTT because it was too enjoyable. You know, you wanted to really enjoy it. And, of course, we'd still maybe do a bit of training or whatever just to keep ticking over. Because I did say that anybody who comes back, they'd be all weighed in, you know, start of a season, blah, blah, blah. And then checking, I'd be checking weights and all that kind of stuff and getting Dave to do it as well. And there'd be fines if somebody was too much overweight, you know, so that they weren't behaving themselves like during the close season. So, I mean, we went on to have very successful seasons, you know, 3 years qualified for Europe. But, I mean, that first year was just, and as you rightly say, Mike, I mean, it was to lead to me landing the Republic of Ireland job, which was such an honour, you know, for me in my career in football.
Yeah, it certainly was. And I suppose, look, while we're concentrating on Limerick, you still had that great time managing your country. And I mean, everybody knows Owen Hand, whether it's through your brilliant broadcasting or not alone, I suppose, your role with Limerick down through the years and other clubs. Was Limerick the highlight, Owen, by any chance? Or was it, as you escalated on to national level, you got more notoriety and you were better known? But was Limerick the highlight for Owen Hand internally, maybe?
Oh, I've got to think, yes. You know, I mean, it was my first job in management. And all the things that I learned under different managers, you know, the different methods that I would never say, I would say, I'm not sure, I'd never do that. So I picked the good points, and then I had my own kind of input into it as well. And, of course, I pay tribute to Dave Mahidi because he was such a great help. But the main part is, you know what I mean, it was the players. That was the main part. They responded in such a great way. And the players we brought in, like Gary Humes, like John Delamere, like Johnny Matthews, like Des Kennedy, you know, all these, like John Herrick, not John Herrick, from Cork. Oh, my God. Jimmy Nodwell. Yeah, so anybody we got in, like, was obviously going to help us to kind of give a little bit of, shall we say, variation of selection and keep fellas on their toes, that they're just not automatically selected, you know, that it's a given that they're playing every week. Because you always have to have that in a team game.
Absolutely.
You must have a little bit of motivation to keep going, to keep going. And it worked, it worked. But I mean, to get back to your question, yes, I think definitely Limerick. A different type of honour, like, and different type of excitement, a different type of, call it pressure even, than the national team. Totally different. But, you know, it was just memorable. And, of course, that's why we don't want to forget it. We get together and we have fun. And we don't talk about it because it's there. There might be reference to it. But it's just to be with all those lads and to know how much that they're appreciated by everybody in Limerick. And it's just lovely, lovely feeling.
And a great sense of satisfaction that you were the glue that stuck it all together. And Owen, just finally, you live in a beautiful part of the country. The country and the world is at a standstill. And while you probably won't get a chance to mark the 40 years in each other's company, that will happen when the coronavirus has thankfully passed through the country. But it's such surreal times, isn't it? Have you ever experienced anything like this where you've just basically been stopped to a standstill and there's nothing happening in the world?
I don't think anybody has experienced anything like this. I mean, it's never happened to even go back to biblical times. I mean, I can't ever reading anything as bad as this, the Black Plague and all that kind of Spanish flu. There's nothing like this. This is incredible, you know, and it's all the good things. You've got to be positive about it. It's all the good things that are going to come out of it. First of all, I mean, the frontline people, I mean, what, you know, they deserve every ounce of praise and credit they get. And then, of course, I mean, you must start thinking about the ones that aren't as fortunate as you. I mean, the people who are, how do I say, the homeless and whatever, and people who are living in the cities and maybe in apartments, in high-rise apartments and all that, and maybe with young kids, and maybe, you know. So you think about all that, and you think, well, hey, hold on a second. This is for you, you know, and I'm saying it now. There's a lot of us who are lucky enough that we can say it's easier for us to be cocooned than an awful lot of people where there is huge hardship. But I do think that the only way to take it is day by day, Mike, you know, and just say, because you go off your rocker if you start thinking long term. Just take it day by day and then think, well, you know, when it's all over, and this is more a general point of view, sure, there's going to be the economy of the world, whatever, problems. But I think there's an awful lot of lessons will have been learned from this, about the whole global thing and everything about it, you know. So we'll be in a better place when it's all over. We'll have experienced it. We'll have come through it, hopefully. Lacoon of day, as they say. Oh, yeah, I always like my little bit of Gaelic. Yeah, so anyway, but, you know, that's it. So, I mean, that's a summary of the whole situation that is going on. And like I say, we trust that it won't go on so long. I mean, that's everybody's wish.